Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is a new month, July 1st, 2010. You're listening to show number 42 of Who's Reading the Organon. We will be reading aphorism number 8. I want to thank everyone for getting on to HWC, Homeopathy World Community. We had at least 35 people on the live chat this morning, and there are still quite a few in there. I hope everyone is listening, and if you're on the chat, say hello and let us know. I think Vera might be coming in soon, but in the meantime, I will start with inspirations and motivations. I don't know about synchronicity in this world, but everyone has been sending me these messages from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who lived from 1803 to 1882 and was an American philosopher, essayist, and poet. He's best remembered for the transcendental movement in the mid-19th century. This was the first message I got from someone, I don't remember who it was. It said, "A teacher is he who makes difficult things easy." Oh, I just love that. I am ready to be a student to a really good teacher. So, and then the second message that I got came from Twitter. A person's profile is Empower Your Power, and her name is Jamie Velasco, a young woman who has wonderful blogs and very insightful things to say. She had Ralph Waldo Emerson's quote, "Wise men put their trust in ideas and not in circumstances." And I would like to read her blog on that particular quote, which says, "How easy we fall in this hole of diversion called problems. From time to time, we have to face certain adverse circumstances. And if we don't do it boldly and from a positive standpoint, they will become ugly and dark monsters nibbling our soul and dreams. Let's focus on the true inner part of our ideas and keep pursuing them. We all are gifted and capable to generate great ideas, but as someone told me, not all of us unwrap that gift." LOL, she puts. "Each person is responsible for her or his own life creation and ideas. God sets the board on which we are to play, but hey, the move is only ours. We have to keep in mind that every obstacle we have to confront is a blessing hidden within, and no one but us is to look for it, find it, and take it. Obstacles are beaten with ideas put into action. Ideas are like awesome treasures waiting to be found. But they can only be found, and let me stress it a little bit more, only by those who keep their eyes on the goal." And she finishes the post with this enlightening quote from Mary Kay Ash that says, "A mediocre idea that generates enthusiasm will go further than a great idea that inspires no one." And she signs off, "Kisses and blessings by Jamie V." And I say, let's get inspired and set our eyes on the goal. It's very interesting, but Vera has not signed in yet. I'm wondering if she's okay and if she's able to get on the internet. I have some news about the UK situation. I was in contact with Richard Hiltner, president of the California Homeopathic Medical Society and also the organizer for the League of 2010 Congress. There were numerous members of LIGA who had either direct or indirect involvement with the issue going on and controversy in the UK. And one of those people is Peter Fisher, compiled much research and testified before the Parliament Committee. The new LIGA Secretary for Public Relations in the LIGA Executive Council, Sarah Eames of the UK, also gave much details to the International Council meeting in California. Overall, his attitude is very optimistic. So I will take it from him, from the lead, and see from there. Do I hear Vera? Oh, yes, she's in with us. Great. So overall, the attitude is optimistic, and I want us to carry that with us. There is also quite a few messages I've been receiving from Louise McLean of homeopathyhealsme.uk.com, and I'm going to put a link to her on the front page. Hey, Vera, I hear you. Are you there now? Okay, you must have had a difficulty getting into the internet today.
Okay, right, I had some logistics problem.
Okay, and so Louise tells us that the government is changing over there in the UK and some good people are getting in to some good positions and we should see improvement for alternative medicine. Vera, I wanted to make a note that you've been reinvigorating the Iron Hospital video that Dana Ullman posted last year, and you think that's apropos for what's going on in the international political scene. And I also want to encourage people to follow Dana Ullman on the Huffington Post. I put a new banner up for him. Please comment there on the Huff and support his work, all that he does and gives to the homeopathic community. We really treasure him. He is a homeopathic treasure. And let's see, a couple more items. One is that we've been having quite a few discussions on HWC, and we still need to learn to label our cured cases as either classical homeopathy or a modality of homeopathy, or if you're putting something up, that's an alternative healing modality. Finally, happy Doctor's Day. I've never heard of this before. Dr. Rafiq has put up a blog, and I have posted a comment. Please, if you have something to say, put it there. And Vera, I'm introducing you today. You're ready.
Okay. Okay, we're on to aphorism number 8. And I'll go ahead and read.
Great.
It is not conceivable, nor can it be proved by any experience in the world, that after removal of all the symptoms of the disease and of the entire collection of the perceptible phenomena, there should or could remain anything else besides health, or that the morbid alteration in the interior could remain uneradicated. So the implication here is that if everything external disappears, everything external, well, everything perceptible, let's say, if a person is no longer experiencing the symptoms and signs of the disease, the symptoms and signs that were the change that determined disease or that described the disease, then this means that they're back in health. It's a complicated concept, I think, because often I wonder if someone came and they said they weren't feeling well, and now after a remedy they're feeling much better, sleep has improved, mood has improved, chief complaint, pains in the abdomen, say, have improved. So the implication here is that once the perceptible phenomena, the perceptible symptoms of the disease have been removed, that means the person is healthy.
Is he then, saying this as a fact? Is he saying this is true? What I'm reading the beginning, it's not conceivable. It's inconceivable. Nor can it be proved. What is he trying to prove or disprove? Or you see what I'm saying? How he starts off this aphorism?
If we reverse it, because this is also Hanuman very often says things in like a negative form, it is not conceivable. When that negative form itself is confusing. So let's say we take the aphorism and try to turn it around. We say it is conceivable, and every experience, I'm translating this from negative to positive, it is conceivable, and every experience in the world shows that after removal of all the symptoms of the disease, only health remains. And the morbid alteration in the interior is eradicated. Do you see what I've done?
You've tried to turn it around, and I'm trying to wrap my head around that one. It's difficult because from the words that he's speaking, it's almost it's not conceivable. It's inconceivable. It's unbelievable. I can't even make this real for me that it's something that cannot even be proved. In other words, there's something going on that in the experience of this world, that even after removal of all the symptoms of the disease.
I think you need to be careful.
Yes.
I think you need to be careful when you say it is not conceivable means it's unbelievable. That's not what the words imply. I would say if we want to do a reread based on what's here, he's saying it's not conceivable that, and here I'm going to go move around in the aphorism to try and unravel the Germanic structure of the sentences. It's not conceivable that anything besides health should remain after removal of all the symptoms of the disease.
Okay, that sounds a little bit better to me.
So he's basically saying if the symptoms of the disease are removed and the entire collection of perceptible phenomena, that means only health remains. And the morbid alteration in the interior is eradicated. Because he's described before in aphorism 7 and 6 as well, he's describing how the changes in the changes in health, the changes that point to disease, the changes of the symptoms that the disease expresses itself through those symptoms. If the disease is no longer expressing itself through the symptoms because the symptoms no longer exist, Hanuman is saying we're looking at cure of the interior. I'm trying to think of a metaphor. It's a bit like if a program isn't behaving properly on the computer, right? And there's a bug in the program. So the programmer goes in and fixes the code that was causing the bug. What you will see is the improved function of your program. You won't see the change in code because you don't go there unless you're a programmer. You see that the function of the program is working. And if the function of the program is working, that means that someone fixed the code.
It's a nice analogy.
Does that work?
Yeah,
so if the symptoms are like when the program is not working, if we give a remedy based on those symptoms, we're actually giving a remedy that will change the code that is causing those symptoms in the first place.
I'm afraid to go to the next idea that popped into my mind. DNA.
I'm afraid to ask you what it is.
Your DNA is when I heard the word code and the inner code of the human being, that's what I thought of DNA. And I know that there's a lot of controversial talk about that as well. but we're not going to go there.
I remember seeing that there'd been some research about how DNA can change.
Yes, I've written a number of blogs about that and the potential how DNA can change through mutation, through environment. And someone put one up about plants. I'll see if I can get the link for that. But I was looking into the dictionary about that word conceivable, and it means capable of being imagined or grasped mentally. And I wonder, you know, why did Hahnemann write in this in the negative? Nor can it be proved. It just, I mean, I know I'm kind of dwelling on it, but in other words, today, scientists are trying to show evidence for how homeopathy works. And in a way, he's saying, nor can it be proved by any experience in the world. So,
but he's not talking about homeopathy, you know that. He's saying what's not conceivable, what can't be proved by any experience in the world, is that if the symptoms are eradicated, that any disease remains. He's not talking about the function of homeopathy here in terms of how homeopathy works, because the whole his whole thrust within the Organon is to show us, and within chronic diseases as well, and that my favorite quote, which I quote the whole time, so I'm not going to do it right now, that he says...
Do it again, Lynn. Do it again, Vera. I love that one. You'll find it and do it again. Okay,
That he says over and over again, he says, experience shows that homeopathy works. He says, I don't understand exactly how it works, and I don't require that anyone else should understand it. Here, I have my quotes. I demand no faith at all from chronic diseases, footnote. I demand no faith at all, do not demand that anybody should comprehend it. Neither do I comprehend it. It is enough that it is a fact and nothing else. Experience alone declares it, and I believe more in experience than in my own intelligence. How many could say that today? That is such an amazing statement. Someone who says, I believe more in my experience than in my intelligence.
Excellent.
So I'm not going
to... We need to bring that into our own practice, into our own heart, that experience is what we are really dealing with.
Well, experience tests things out. Intelligence can bring us all kinds of theories. But the important thing to note is that that is not what this aphorism is talking about. This aphorism is saying that you can't prove that there still is disease if there are no signs and symptoms of disease.
Okay.
I had a patient who had a shoulder problem, had a fall and a shoulder problem, and the problem was helped through homeopathy. And within 3-4 days, he restored 90% of function. The doctor said, from the tests that had been done previously, it's not possible that something doesn't remain a problem internally. And he wanted to do an invasive test with a radioactive contrast substance, to check. My patient was concerned that this test would interfere with a treatment that had brought him such good results. And he said, if he has 90% function in the shoulder, why should he think that there still is a problem inside? So,
right.
I mean, this isn't exactly the interior that Hahnemann refers to, from my understanding of it. Hahnemann refers to a hidden interior that can't necessarily be seen by testing, to an interior where the vital force resides.
Mm-hmm.
But
I really appreciate that I make you go over the same thing 10 times, because it really makes more sense every time you say it in a new way. And all of the examples that you bring to me and to the listeners, it really helps to understand exactly what Hahnemann is getting at here. Do we want to go ahead to the footnote?
I'd say let's go to the footnote, because Hahnemann in the footnote explains even more what he's saying in the aphorism. So I'll read it. When a patient has been cured of his disease by a true physician, in such a manner that no trace of the disease, no morbid symptom remains, and all the signs of health have permanently returned. How can anyone, without offering an insult to common sense, affirm in such an individual the whole bodily disease still remains in the interior? And yet the chief of the old school, Hooverland, asserts this in the following words: homeopathy can remove the symptoms, but the disease remains. This he maintains partly from mortification, that's upset for anyone who has difficulty with the word, or mortification is humiliation as well, can mean, at the progress made by homeopathy to the benefit of mankind, partly because he still holds thoroughly material notions respecting disease, which he is still unable to regard as a state of being of the organism wherein it is dynamically altered by the morbidly deranged vital force as an altered state of health, but he views the disease as something material, which after the cure is completed may still remain lurking in some corner in the interior of the body in order some day during the most vigorous health to burst forth at its pleasure with its material presence. So dreadful is the blindness of the old pathology. No wonder that it could only produce a system of therapeutics which is solely occupied with scouring out the poor patient. You know, scouring out, yeah.
Oh boy, Brillo.
You're right.
So you know what, I'm getting a new message. The message is, what he cannot imagine or conceive is that anyone cannot believe their own experience. That's the message I'm kind of, it's coming through.
I think that's the, indirectly, that is the message. If you see that a person is restored to health because the signs and symptoms of disease have gone, then how can you think they're still ill? Now, this is a question, and it's a question I've heard since, I mean, I've been asking people questions about this aphorism for a long time, because what happens if you have a patient who came with various symptoms and the symptoms have all improved and he's feeling much better, then he goes to a conventional doctor and the conventional doctor says, you have extremely high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no symptoms,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then this, to me, calls the whole thing into question. What are we talking about here? Does the high blood pressure turn into another symptom? I'm raising a lot of questions, Debbie. I'm not providing any of the answers.
I'm thinking in the same, I'm in the same line of thought, because I'm thinking, you know, we get tested for TB or whatever kind of thing that's going on in the body, and is the person displaying that they have any symptoms of this nature? I don't know. So what are we searching for?
I think what you're saying, what are we searching for, is exactly the question. Because, for example, when you search for strep, right, a lot of healthy people have strep, probably all of us or most of us. We have some kind of strep bacteria hanging around in the body, and for the most part, it's behaving itself. It probably has some positive functions that personally I'm not aware of, but it behaves itself. The difficulty is when sometimes the strep comes into conflict with the body and starts being present when symptoms are produced. I'm not sure that the strep itself is producing the symptoms, but something within the environment places it there as the whipping boy for every sore throat going.
Overproduction.
All of this is a question. I've had conventional doctors saying to me, yes, you can remove the symptoms and the guy can seem really fine, but he could drop dead in 3 days and you wouldn't know why.
Yes.
So
I
would have to leave this question open, in that personally I don't have answers, and I think that the only answers that we can get here are through experience of treatment. No, the more people that we treat and we see symptoms are removed, signs are removed, health is restored, perceptible health is restored.
And he also kind of gives a little bit of a zing to it. He says, without offering an insult to common sense,
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in that mode of believability and unbelievability.
We had a discussion recently, and we were talking, not online, in our offline mm-hmm. discussion, we were talking about how a lot of people can have all kinds of things going on in them, but they don't necessarily cause disease or they don't necessarily cause problems. And the question is, mm-hmm. oh, yes, and we were talking about a society that lives in fear. And we're a society that lives in fear of the tumor lurking within, the blood pressure lurking within, the sugar levels lurking within, all waiting to jump out and destroy us or harm us.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of what Hanuman is saying here is you've removed the signs and the symptoms. You are restored to health. Go out and be healthy and live a healthy life and stop living in fear of what may mutate, what may happen. What? So it's a big question there.
Well, in my mind, if a person has fear, then they're not really cured to health yet. I think that the fear itself is a symptom of something.
But so, I think the fear is endemic to our society.
But not everybody feels this way. So, I mean, I think if a person has their life thwarted in some way because of fear, then there's something going on, and that needs to be addressed.
But the example that I see is people, we have like a little bit of time left, right? Not much.
Not much.
If people are sent a letter from their health fund or their health HMO or whatever it is, saying it is time now for you to do screening for XYZ terrible disease,
mm-hmm.
most of them, I think, will do it. And the basic reason for doing it is fear that it could be happening. And then there are those who don't do it out of the same mm-hmm. fear.
Well, it's also preventative medicine because if you have hereditary disease and a propensity to something, if everyone in your family has had this type of thing, you want to keep a check on it if you've had polyp growths or, skin things that are you go in for a check, you know, and it makes sense to keep an eye on it and not to live your life in fear of it, but, you know, these are times.
But the screening itself mm-hmm. can be living in fear, and the screening
yes.
itself can be invasive and potentially dangerous.
Yes, this is a hard question. I really
yes,
think it's
yes.
difficult.
I think
we have to wrap up,
right?
We have 1 minute. Okay, what is our umbrella?
Oh, I don't know. Be healthy.
Not live in fear.
Yeah.
Trust your experience. It seems like that.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your own experience, and listen to Hanuman.
Hanuman knows
okay.
best. Bye, everyone.
Yay! Thank you. Okay.
Bye, Debbie.
Thanks for listening. Take your Organon off the shelf and read it. We're closing for today.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.